Hi there, it's Tracy. Welcome to Flirtin' After 40. This week, no action. I had a sick kid home, and that has taken up all of my energy. For any parent that has children, you know what I'm talking about. It just disrupts your week, and you are glued to them. He's doing okay, but it's just been a long couple days. But the love that I have from friends is amazing. I had a friend, she dropped off medicine. I had a couple friends that just, wanted to bring, hey, can we bring you guys food and things like that? And we're good. But sometimes I feel lonely and then these things happen and I'm reminded that I'm not alone, that I do have this great network of people that love me. And it's so nice. I was also, I'd received a couple texts this week from people I know, not necessarily like good friends, but just saying like, hey, somebody was telling me about your podcast and I just wanted to let you know I'm digging it. I love your vulnerability. You're amazing. You have so much love and I hope you find your person. And that is such a pick me up. It is really nice to hear that from people. I mean, I'm not an attention whore or anything like that, but it's really nice to have people tell you that they see you and what they think you're doing matters. So I really appreciate that. I've been on the dating app Raw. As I was telling you guys, I got off all the others for a little bit because it's just too much. And that one is just not good either. And people, hit me up from fucking Columbus and Texas and Florida. And I'm like, why am I gonna spend my time talking to somebody that's not even in the same state? And maybe that's closed-minded of me because maybe my soulmate is in Georgia. I don't know. But I'm not relocating. So I don't know. It just feels like I don't need a pen pal. So I'm not sure that's working out for me. Also, for those who cannot see, but my nails are not painted. And I was just on Instagram, and apparently, men have strong opinions about women's nails and their likelihood to date them. And I can't remember the whole thing, but it was that men prefer women with like very light pink, red, or maroon painted nails. I swear to God, like, I'm not doing one more thing to try to get a fucking date. Like, I like when I paint my nails and I'm going to paint them the color I fucking want, not the color to attract a man. That's just a little sidebar. It makes me kind of mad, like that this shit even exists out there. Like, do people really paint their nails to attract a man or because men like that color more than blue? I don't know. That one hit me and I didn't like that. So my short story for today, structural damage. So some of you know me personally, some of you don't. I own and operate a construction management business. So what that means is that for owners, I represent them during the design and construction process, for commercial interior projects. Right now, I'm converting a hotel into a homeless shelter. Just several different types of projects, but construction related. And you guys might be wondering, like, Tracy, you work with men. I mean, the construction industry is primarily men. Now, we're making good strides. There's quite a few women in the field, but still, often, either like me, my partner, we're often the only women in a room. And you would think at that point I could meet someone. Even Sparky asked me when we first got together, he was like, 'cause he's an electrician. He asked, like, how do you not get hit on at work? And I said, I've never gotten hit on. I've never been on a job site and had anyone come up to me, slip me a number, say anything. Probably because they know like I'm their boss's boss and I could like have them fired. But I've still never experienced it. Now I have experienced it, outside of a job site, with people in the industry, but still, even that is super rare, like very, very rare. I think I've probably gotten hit on in a coffee shop more than I have in 25 years working with men in construction. Just a little tidbit for you guys. So anyways, I am with my partner. We're renovating a hotel, and the use will be a homeless shelter. And we're reusing a lot of the hotel rooms, or we're converting them into laundry or different things. So I'm on the job site one day, and the construction project manager says, "Hey, Trace, I need you to look at something. There's something a little weird. It doesn't make sense to me." Sure. So we walk into this hotel room. Okay. Now he's like, "Just stand against the wall." So I stand against the wall. The headboard has been removed. The mattress has been removed. And this wall literally like indents, like it goes straight. And then there's a big indent, like 6-8 inches in kind of where the headboard was. And then it comes back out. So there's just this big, indent in the wall. He's like, "Yeah, this wall is supposed to stay like, I'm a little concerned. Like, do you think this is a big structural issue?" And I'm like, "No, I don't think it's a structural issue." He's like, "Well, what do you," and this guy, okay, you guys, he's like 42. He's like a pretty, he's a kind of a quieter person. He seems just a little more like conservative and kept to himself. He's like, "Well, what do you think it could be?" And I was like, "Looks like a good time to me." And he's like, "What?" And I'm like they were really getting it on. Implying that like these people in a hotel room were having sex and like hard enough to move the wall. Like the wall isn't even cracked, but like to indent the wall enough. Now we know there's other issues with the building, so it could not, and maybe it's not that, but he looks at me like I just took my clothes off or something. Like I'm like kind of horrified, like, "Oh my God." And like, then like laughs and like, but clearly embarrassed. So we walk back to the job office, and the superintendent is an older gentleman. This is his last job before he retires. And my project manager says, like, "Hey, Tracy has a theory about what was going on in that room." And, you know, Super's like, "What?" And I'm like, "It looks like somebody was having a good time. Like, it looks like people were having sex and like banging it out and busted in the wall, like indented the wall." And I kid you not, he turns like bright red. And is like, "Oh my God, like, I can't even do this right now. Like, oh my God, Tracy, like, you're too much for me." And I mean, they were joking with me about it and laughing, but I seriously caught them off guard. And I think they were really like truly embarrassed. And so I'm me and I'm me all the time. I'm like, "Have you guys really never broken a bed?" And I think I like, and I'm just like, I'm walking out of the room because I'm like, I gotta get out of this conversation. But I'm like, "Have you really not broken a bed?" And I was like, "You know, you need to give it a try," or something along those lines. And I leave. I mean, I've broken beds before. Like, so I'm going to do a survey after this. I'm going to post something, and I'm curious because I don't think it's that uncommon, but maybe it is. Maybe I'm the crazy one here. Back when I was living in San Francisco, I was living in a very small, this was after the hotel, a very small studio, like 400 square feet. And I put my bed in the closet. Like, I took the doors off and the bed just fit in there. And needless to say, I mean, I had a few gentlemen over now and then, and not all at once. Take that back. But my neighbor downstairs did not enjoy that. So I would get like, you know, imagine the old days, like broom, somebody hitting the ceiling with a broom, or, you know, he'd come up and knock on the door, or I get the next morning, like a note on my door, like saying, "You need to keep it down. I'm going to have to, you know, call this in, blah, 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 blah." And so it's like, shit, I gotta do something about this. And now I didn't break a bed then, but, I also wondered if I've always been this way and sharing my stories. And then I remembered, Yeah, I pretty much have. I remember I told my boss at the time, I was like, fuck, my neighbor downstairs is getting pissed because the sex is too loud. It's disrupting him, whatever. So her and her husband, who are my friends, I haven't seen them in forever, but they actually came. We found carpet tiles from a job that were left over, and they came over and helped me install, like move my bed, install carpet tiles underneath my bed to absorb the sound and vibration. That's what friendship's about. Gotta help your girl out and get her neighbor off your back. And if I recall, it worked, or it worked a lot better. It wasn't hardwood floor versus carpet. So there's a lesson for you guys. Also, so my bed's breaking stories started with Big Mike, who I've told you guys about, but I had bought in a bed when I got divorced, a new bed frame from Crate and Barrel. It's beautiful. And like they came and installed it. It's not like I didn't install it correctly or something like that. But anyways, it broke. Like it was like falling apart and like very disruptive to my own enjoyment because I was worried the bed was just going to like disintegrate. So one day, Big Mike comes over with truck straps. So imagine like the truck straps that are on the back of semis, like holding in the load, like they're yellow and big hooks, and you like got to cinch them back. And anyways, we take the mattress off, we install like all these truck straps, make the bed super tight and like contained together. And that kind of did the trick, but you could. You could see the truck straps from like when you walked into my room, like you could see them under my bed. So, I mean, it was kind of a joke. For anyone that came over, was like, yeah, the bed's held together by truck straps. And they lasted quite a while, but I dated, which you guys haven't heard of about yet. We'll call him Richard Guapo. He named himself that a long time ago, so not my name, but and he had seen the truck straps and he was like, Tracy, we gotta upgrade you. This is like college girl shit. We can't do this. You're a big girl now. Let's fix your bed. And I mean, he came over with all these power tools and like drilled through all the metal to insert these big bolts to hold my bed together. And when I moved in October, they had to take apart the bed. And the movers were like, holy shit, like this is some like amazing retrofit structural upgrades. Anyways, that has lasted, but like it's yeah. Anyways, the truck straps are gone, the bolts are in, but I haven't had a ton of time to test it in my new house. I'll let you guys know how it holds up. But then I was thinking, like, okay, I broke a bed in an Airbnb in New Mexico. I broke a bed in San Francisco with someone, like a really nice hotel. Like both times I kept waiting like for a charge or something. Nothing. But like, am I the only one that has broken beds? There's gotta be. You guys, please tell me you have. And if you haven't, please try to. Or maybe, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what this says about me. You could say a lot. Go break a bed, please. Oh, okay. So, my funny for the day. I don't, again, none of these are really funny. I don't have a lot of funnies. Because like I'm kind of taking a pause from the dating apps right now. But you know, I was on, like I said, Raw a little bit, and you know, somebody had their name. Like, I think it's fine to use your first name. I don't know. Maybe I'm dumb and naive. But when they name themselves daddy, I have no words. Like, gross. I mean, I know there's a kink for this, and I know people do it. But on a dating website that is not about that, like, I just don't under-fucking stand. Daddy, gross. You know, another guy, you know, he's trying to be super appealing, you know, just here to make one lucky little lady's drink come true. Like stuff like that, like that's not offensive. Well, it kind of is offensive. Like it doesn't make me want to talk to you. One little lady, one lucky little lady's dream come true. Like, do you, like, you must be a narcissist. Like, really, dude? Just like, I don't think it should be that hard. And I don't think it's an impossible request to have a little respect and authenticity. Like, it should be that fucking hard. I also saw this stat today. And I don't know why it stuck with me. It got me thinking. It says 12% of people shower with their cell phones. Oh, sorry, 12% of millennials shower with their cell phone. So then I'm like, well, how many people masturbate in the shower? And it says that 80% of people masturbate in the shower. So we got 80% of people masturbating in the shower. We got 12% on their phones. So I'm what? One of the eight, I was like, I had to do math. 8% that just washes their hair. I don't have my phone in the shower. So on the stat about the phones, it said that 40% of people would rather skip shampooing their hair for a week than give up that time with their cell phone. I'm really worried about us. I'm not worried about the masturbation in the shower, but I'm worried about the 12% that take their phone in the shower with them. Like, I'm really worried about that. You guys, I can't make this stuff up. I don't know where it comes from. I'm just here to share it with you, and hopefully bring a smile to your face. Join me next week. I appreciate everybody listening, and have a lovely day. Thanks.